Once in a while, a story comes around that helps you reorient your life. I first heard this story when I was sent a copy of the book Kisses from Katie, A Story of Relentless Love and Redemption. The author, Katie Davis, also featured recently on NPR, of all places. And I've linked a story that NPR did on Katie at the blog site at godandculture.com, and we point you to that. And you'll also find a place there where you can get a copy of Katie's book, Kisses from Katie. She's a young woman who took a missions trip to Uganda and then went back for what she thought would just be a year. And now, over the last 4 years, has developed a ministry called Amazima Ministries, which helps 400 children go to school. I'm reading right from the NPR report. Helps 400 children go to school, provides community health programs, and feeds more than 1,000 children 5 days a week. On top of it, Katie, at 22 years old, single, has adopted, or is in the process of adopting, 13 young Ugandan girls. It is a fascinating story, and on the other end of our phone line is Katie Davis. And Katie, I'm honored to welcome you here to the Paul Edwards Program.
Hi, thank you.
Tell me about how this all got started as we go all the way back to your senior year of high school and this trip that you took, I think, over Christmas break.
Yes, I took a trip to Uganda during my Christmas break, senior year of high school, for 3 weeks. And I just fell in love with the people. But not only did I fall in love with the people, I was overwhelmed by the huge needs that I saw. And so before I left, a pastor who ran a different orphanage had asked me if I would be interested in coming back to help long term. So I left with that in mind and really thought and prayed about it. As I came back to America and decided to take a year off between high school and college and spend that year in Uganda helping this pastor to get his kindergarten program up and running, what I thought would be a year has now turned into a lifetime.
Yeah, you say in the beginning of your book that Jesus wrecked your life. That's normally not what we expect to read from somebody who has committed their life to Jesus Christ. What do you mean by that?
Well, I really had this life that I thought was pretty great. I was happy. I had the important things of the world, a cute sports car and cute clothes and a cute boyfriend. And I was the class president of my senior class in high school, and I was homecoming queen. And I had a ton of friends and a great community around me. And I loved Jesus even then. And certainly there's nothing wrong with that. But the more I sought after his heart and the more I delved into these truths of Scripture, and then after seeing the need in Uganda, I felt, of course I have to move to Uganda. Of course I have to do something, because I claim to believe in this Jesus who wants me to give my life away to serve others, and I'm not really doing that.
There's a lot of young adults, Katie, who will take a missions trip. And for that matter, there may be a lot of middle-aged and older adults who might take a missions trip, and it's life-changing. You know, you spend 3 weeks in Uganda, and obviously it was life-changing for you. But they'll come back from that missions trip, and they're on a euphoric high. They're on a spiritual high. They've been maybe for the first time to a foreign country. They've seen life outside of America with all of its pain and all of its difficulty. And they react the way you reacted. They say, you know, I want to do something about this. This is life changing for me, and I want to make a difference. But within months, it all goes away. Not for you though. What do you think made the difference for you that you take a 3 week trip, and it totally upturns your life?
Right. I think that we can't let that spiritual high go away. And I don't think that that means that we have to move to the country we went to the mission trip on, or that we have to move to any other country, period. But I think it means we have to have some kind of permanent life-altering that says, I'm going to serve the person in front of me effectively. And so for me, it was just to take a step out and say, okay, I need to do something about this. I'm not really sure what the best thing to do about this is. Maybe I'll try it out for a year, see what happens. And as I was there in that year, God just made it abundantly clear that I was to stay.
We're talking with Katie Davis here on the Paul Edwards program. If you're just joining us, she's the author of the book Kisses from Katie, a story of relentless love and redemption. It's Katie's story that really began. It began really the day she was born, but it began in earnest about 4 years ago when she took a trip to Uganda, and now has relocated there and has made her life all about the Ugandan people in the area that she ministers in. You, Katie, are what, 22 years old right now?
Yes.
22 years old, and I think the very first line of your book alludes to the fact that well, you say my life is kind of insane, and I, you know, a lot of people in this audience might say, given what you've just described about what your life was like before you made the decision to go to Uganda, this is insane. And yet you really believe that the Word of God calls all of us to this kind of radical life, maybe not to the extent that you've taken it, but that the Christian life is about this kind of radical living.
Absolutely. I think that it's so hard for me to be here and be doing book promotion type things, because I find it sad that the world finds my life so, so unusual. And of course, it's unusual to move to a different country or to be in the process of adopting 13 children. But I think that in light of Christ, nothing should look like sacrifice to us. And we are called to live these lives that look crazy to the world. And so it's almost disheartening to know that my story is so shocking to so many people, because for me, it just feels like the natural overflow of God's love in my life.
You know, I have a daughter that's about a year older than you and committed. She's married now and has my granddaughter. It's her daughter, but it's my granddaughter. And when I look at you, Katie, and I hear your story, I think, what if my daughter, what if Jessica had come to me right out of high school and said, I'm moving to Uganda? As committed as we are to our faith, as committed as we are to world missions, as a father, I would have had real problems with that. I mean, it would have been very difficult for me to be purely spiritual and say, Katie, that's awesome. Your mom and I really support you in what you're doing. How did your parents respond to you right out of high school wanting to make this kind of drastic change in your life?
They responded similarly to, I think, how most parents would. They were surprised. They were disappointed even. They wanted me to be happy and have a secure future. And that meant to them going to college and finding a career. And so they encouraged me against it for a while. When they saw that I was really passionate about this, they were kind of reluctantly supportive. And then when I decided that I was going to be living there permanently, my dad will tell a story of when he felt God really just nudge him and say, you know what, you're standing in the way. And he said, he'll tell you, he decided right then that he did not want to be in the way of God's will. And so it's taken a lot of my parents being really selfless and putting aside their plans and desires for my life to also honor God's plan. But they've seen God's hand in it all. They've seen what he's doing, and they're very, very supportive now.
Tell me about your ministry there, and I hope I'm pronouncing it right, Amazima?
Amazima, yeah. Amazima is a sponsorship program predominantly. We have some other outreaches now as well, but it just started out of me seeing this need as I lived at the orphanage. There were children who were not able to come back to school second term. They would just stop coming. And as I looked into that, it was because a lot of them, being orphans, were living with a grandmother or an aunt or an uncle who was really struggling to provide for them and therefore could not continue to pay their school fees. At the same time, there were parents or single parents who were trying to drop their children off at the orphanage, even though the children weren't orphans, because they knew that living at the orphanage means you get school and medical care and food, and maybe they weren't able to provide those things at home. So I said, what is a way to get these children back into school who aren't coming to school and get parents to be able to care for their children and provide for their basic needs at home without having to intake the children into the orphanage, because it's a beautiful thing that the family of these children, whether it be aunts or grandparents or even close friends of the family, will take care of these children and allow them to not have to live in an institution. So I originally just started collecting donations from family and friends back home saying, hey, I know a couple kids, they need to get back into school. We need to support their parents in keeping them at home. Could you donate to that? And it started with 10 children that turned into 40 that over the years has grown into 450 kids we have now sponsored in our program. But we really believe that it's so beautiful that the Ugandan people will take care of their own people, and it's so beautiful when a child can be raised by a relative in their own community, even though they've had to endure the tragedy of being orphaned. So we really want to come alongside these families and support them in that.
I'm sure, Katie, that you've had some opposition and some ups and downs and some setbacks and some difficulty. I listened today to the NPR story, and I'm not sure when that NPR story originally aired, but I want to play for you and for the audience. I'm sure you've heard it, but I want to play for the audience a clip from that NPR story and then get your reaction to it. Here it is.
To me, I think that's not acceptable. There is no way you can have more than 4 children.
That's Child Welfare Officer Carolyn Bankusha. She investigates adoption and foster care cases in Uganda's capital city, Kampala. Bankusha was surprised to hear about Davis's story and says by law, the 22-year-old American is too young to adopt children in Uganda. She must be 25, and the children have to be under 4 years of age. Bankusha also disapproves of so many children in Davis's care.
Unless the children are placed under a children's ministry or a children's home, which she can start. Otherwise, it is really bad for someone to have more than 5 children. Moreover, legal guardianship.
So how do you respond to that, Katie? It doesn't surprise me that the devil would work in that way to try to discourage you with a government official like that, a welfare a representative telling you that, hey, you can't do this. It's not shocking that because you're doing a good thing, that evil would come against it. And by saying that, I don't mean that this woman is evil or that the system there is evil. What I mean is that kind of thing has to be discouraging to you. So how do you respond to it?
Well, that reporter didn't know me very well. And the woman who she interviewed is actually not the government probation officer that's over my area of Jinja. So my children are placed with me legally through a government social worker. She's just from a different part of the country. And so I think, of course, she was caught off guard because she hadn't heard our story. She doesn't know anything about our cases. It's not something that she had been working on. So definitely things like that happen, and reporters and people get a hold of the story and they want to twist it to look so much more controversial than it really is. But I do have legal custody of all my children, and I'm aware of the law that says that I can't finalize their adoptions until I'm 25. But right now I'm just their legal guardian. And so when I turn 25, I'll be able to finalize all those adoptions. Yeah. And while it's discouraging, I mean, you have to expect and anticipate some of it. And of course, it was discouraging to hear that air on national radio, especially when I didn't even know she had interviewed that lady. But it's to be anticipated, and I think that it's a great thing to know that you could be persecuted for the cause of Christ. And I really, really firmly believe that I sought confirmation from God before taking each one of my daughters into my home. And I believe that He's continued to give me confirmation even after I've taken my daughters into my home. So we're just following after Him and doing what He places in front of us. And opposition will come and hard times will come, but He has been faithful and He will continue to be faithful.
You know, you're so mature for 22 years old. I don't know, there aren't too many 22-year-olds, Katie, who could listen to an NPR report like that and have the attitude that you have. A lot of them would just probably pack up and go home and say, well, you know, if you don't want me here, I won't be here. But it's obvious that you are exhibiting the call of God on your life in that area. Is there anything beyond that that's been discouraging to you on a day-to-day basis as you, I mean, I guess what I'm asking you, Katie, is how can this audience be praying for you day-to-day in terms of the things that discourage you?
Oh, thank you. There are always discouragements, and that happens everywhere in life. And I think the flip side to the NPR article is a whole community of people around me who are very supportive of me. And so it's so easy to get caught up in the negative words and forget all the positive ones. It's so easy when criticism comes to just focus on the criticism. But discouragements daily are just, I guess, just seeing such a huge need and knowing that I cannot meet it all. And just it's hard to trust God and say, okay, I'm going to love this one child in front of me. You're going to take care of the rest. It's hard to know that even just doing what I can, there's still such immense need out there. And at the same time, trust God for his beautiful and perfect plan. And that's a broad example. There are so many little specific examples that I could give you, but we do so appreciate your prayers, and I so daily feel lifted by the prayers and support of other people.
What would you say to other young women who might have the same call, the same vision? Maybe they're not in Uganda yet, but they're on their way to Uganda, and they're going to spend several months there, and they really believe that maybe God is calling them, if not to Uganda, to some other part of Africa. What would you say to that young college woman who's made that decision in terms of here's what you need to be prepared for?
I would just encourage everyone to just take it one step at a time. I mean, I didn't go to Uganda with these grand plans for what that was going to look like or with the intention of adopting anyone or starting any kind of ministry. And just as I met needs in front of me, one person at a time, is how God has just multiplied and multiplied these efforts into something that is far more extraordinary than I could have ever imagined. And my encouragement would just be to not be surprised when the discouraging parts come, because that's what lets you know that you're on the right path sometimes. But just to take it one day at a time, to love each person that comes into our presence as if that person were Christ himself. And God is so faithful to just multiply our efforts.
I was just in Ethiopia the first part of September. I was there for 10 days. And Ethiopia, of course, right next to Uganda, beautiful country. I've never been to Uganda. Would love to go to Uganda, and I want to go to Kenya. But I love this was my second trip to Africa, and what I find there are very loving, receptive people. Particularly the children are so welcoming and loving and curious. And it was awesome to be there. But what's your feeling, Katie, about the spiritual climate in Uganda? What would be the some of, or if maybe the greatest spiritual need you think there? Obviously, you're clothing and you're feeding these kids, but you're doing more than that because you're there with a spiritual purpose. And you even say that the book that you've written, Kisses from Katie, you don't want that to be about you. You want that to be about Christ. So what are the spiritual needs in the area that you're ministering in?
Absolutely. Well, with each of our sponsored kids, they attend Bible studies, and we visit them in their homes in the villages during the week and present them with Bible studies there. And so we are definitely all about training these children up in Bible truth. And I think that's the greatest need for Uganda is, and I don't want to make like a broad generalization, but 85% or close to it claim to be Christians, but there's just a huge need, much in the way there is here, for just Bible truth, and just that they're Christians because someone has come in and said, oh, you should get saved, and they said, oh, yeah, okay, but there's not a full understanding there of the gospel, and so we just really strive in our ministry to train these children up in real Bible truth so that they can be examples to others in their country.
Are Bibles readily available, actual Bibles?
We sometimes have them donated and pass them out, but you can buy them on the ground. It's just, you know, less expensive to have them donated.
Yeah. Katie, I so appreciate you spending some time with us, and I want to point people to your blog, kissesfromkatie.blogspot.com, which will be linked. It is linked at our website right now at godandculture.com. That's the easiest way to get there. And her book, Kisses from Katie, A Story of Relentless Love and Redemption. What an honor it is, Katie, to speak with you. And please know that that you're on my prayer list. You'll be on others' prayer lists, and we will be praying for you in the work that you do. I know you're home now. When do you go back?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. How long have you been home?
I've been here for a week.
A week. So how often do you get to come home?
About once a year. This trip was just, my daughter Grace had surgery on her foot, and, well, obviously the book is releasing, so we're just home for that.
Well, that's awesome, and please know that we'll be praying for you, and thanks for spending some time with us in Detroit.
Okay, thank you so much.
Katie Davis is the author of Kisses from Katie, A Story of Relentless Love and Redemption, and you can learn more about her at our website at godandculture.com.